All right, good morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Ty. I thought I did. It's on? It is? Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, there it is. I can tell now. All right, if you guys would go to Romans chapter 2. Sorry, 10th grade Bible, you have to deal with me for 5 days this week, so sorry. So while you are turning there, real quick, I want to talk or kind of go over a couple passages just to prepare you, or us, rather. The title of this message, I guess, is my whole goal is to go over two truths. One truth about God and one truth about us. So the title, the truth about God and us. But with that in mind, I want to remind each and every one of you that we are extremely blessed. And with that blessing of being in the United States of America, even you international students where you're able to come to America, that means that you're financially blessed in some way. And I'll say this. You are extremely rich. And many of us, sometimes when I'm not careful, Sierra, I think that I have this huge advantage over the rest of the world because of it. But the Bible teaches that it's the absolute opposite to that conclusion. Well, Pastor Nate, what do you mean? I'm saying, Derek, you and I were wrong. When we think America and we think we have this huge advantage over the rest of the majority of the world, the Bible actually teaches that it's actually a disadvantage. In Luke chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, but Jesus is talking to what person? Anybody know? Anybody remember? The rich young ruler. And he tells the disciples, once he talks and interacts with this rich young ruler, the guy ends up leaving, and he's what? He's sad because of all the riches, because Jesus tells him to sell all of it and follow him. And he leaves away sad, and Jesus kind of gives this remark to the disciples and basically says, it's really hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. You know, I brought some change. So, well, change. I mean, I brought a big dollar, and I brought like a five and a couple ones. So, Brandon, here's the truth of the matter. If you make $34,000 a year, you are the elite 1% in the world. Meaning you are the richest, and you're richer than 99% of the world, the rest of the world, on average. Okay, so that's not a lot of money to us. Like, some of you are thinking 100 grand, that's a good amount. 100,000, 100K would be a good amount. Or there's many people who, just as a E3, E4, E5, they're making twice that or more in the military service. And so $34,000 to us as Americans is just, that's almost average or even below average. And so here's the fact. The average person in the world makes about $5 a day. That's the average. So for us, Brandon wouldn't get really excited. He's not going to get really excited if I'm like, Brandon, do you want a dollar? He's not going to be like, oh. Yes, please give me a dollar. And here's the fact, like, I could throw this dollar over here. All right. They got a little more excited than I thought they would. But I could see if I threw a dollar over here to high school, I could see some of you kind of going. Because here's the fact. Hey, can I tell you something? In the last week, I've seen Derek was one of them, and then Thomas was the other one. Thomas found some loose change on the bus the other day, coming home from a game. You know what he did? It wasn't a quarter. I think if it was a quarter, he would have kept it. But it was like either a nickel or a penny, or it was a couple pennies, a couple nickels, and he just threw it back down on the ground. So it wasn't even worth it to him to pick up 8 cents of change or whatever it was. Derek, the other day, him and John, they helped me move a desk. And so I was just cleaning out this desk as fast as I could. And of course, I had this handful of change that I just throw because I'm just a slob, okay? And I have it in this drawer, okay? And I just handed Derek, I handed it to Derek. I handed him like some change, but I kept the quarters, okay? So I'm like, the quarters, those are worth it. But I gave him all these pennies, nickels, and dimes. And Derek, did you keep it? Or I think you put it in John's pocket. He just kind of looked at it, and he's like, you got any quarters? And I was like, I'm keeping those. And he was like, he shoved it in John's pocket. And John's like, I don't want all this change, you know. And that's our reaction. So I'm emphasizing to each and every one of you, please realize that you are rich. The fact of the matter is this. If I took a dollar bill and just shredded it, okay, some of you are reacting, okay, but I'm not going to do that. Just relax. I know this will buy you a bag of Cheetos, so it's high value here at the Academy. But, you know, it wouldn't really be that big of a deal. Like, if I tore a $100 bill, you guys would be freaking out. But a $1 bill, you guys are thinking, that's crazy, but big deal. It's just a dollar. But you know, people across the whole world, Blake, they would literally go nuts. Because some people, depending on where they're from, $2 a day is good money. Meaning they're working 10, 12-hour days for $2, for $10 a week, $12 a week. Okay, and for us, that's just unacceptable. Brandon, you wouldn't work for Pastor Sean for $2 a day. It would just be out of the question, right? Okay, can I remind you too, another passage of Scripture? And this one's pretty harsh. Revelation 3. John the Apostle is basically verbatim just giving the words of Christ to the church of Laodicea. And he tells this church, you know, he says they're not hot, they're not cold, they're lukewarm. And he describes them as he wants to do what? Spit them out of his mouth? These are church members. These are people who grew up in church. These are people who know the Bible. Like, they're receiving a letter. They're one of the seven churches in that area that's receiving a letter from the apostle. But yet, that's how they are described. And then look at what they say after that, or what Jesus says after that. For you say, I am rich. We're rich. Application there. We are rich, just like this church. And Jesus says, you say that you are rich and you have prospered and you need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I don't know about you guys, but middle schoolers, listen up. On a serious note, that is a very scary passage to me. Because here's the reality. Aliza, she just went and got a Mac the other day. My wife, if she wants an outfit for like a wedding, she can go get it. For me, if I'm hungry at any given moment, I can go to basically any restaurant in Fayetteville and go grab something to eat. I mean, that's just a small description or example from all three of us of like how wealthy, how rich we are. And basically the point is this, I'm basically at the point where I just about don't need anything. And so the application here is I better be careful because I have this material, this wealth, this richness that I just consume daily, I don't realize the need I have for Christ. Because I don't know if you guys realize this, but I wouldn't think that Christ would describe a believer as being pitiful, being blind, being naked. Have you ever heard that hymnal? I once was blind, but now I'm blind. Is that how it goes? I once was blind, but now I see. Okay, so the point is that if he's describing you as being blind, I don't think these people that he's communicating to are what? They're not believers. You're not described as being spit out of the mouth of God and then having a relationship with him, right? So with that in mind, I want to tell each and every one of you that please don't listen. Some of you are already sleeping just like you slept with Pastor Brian. Okay, I'm going to do my very best to keep your attention. Okay, you see these props up here? Like that didn't just take a minute. Okay, I want you guys to get this because as a high school kid, I was in the same boat and I just blocked off the mark. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares? And I want you, Jonathan, I want you, Chan Ho, I want you guys to realize that this time in your life could build the very foundation of your faith. You could use this for your advantage. But many of us, myself included, as a high school kid, I sat here, okay, I decided to stay up late. I decided chapel's just, oh, he's going over the same, he's talking about judgment, Romans 2, just like Pastor Brian. It's going to be about the same thing. Who cares? 30 minutes and I'm going to be out. But I'm telling you guys, please don't do that. Try to grow. Realize that Berean Baptist Academy has this for a specific reason. Man, I went to public school. I would have loved to have a Bible class. And some of you high school guys that I've tried to minister to and build a relationship, I became a pastor because I had no one. That was the desire God put in my heart because I grew up basically with a pastor telling me I was a public school kid and my mom and dad couldn't afford Christian education. And I remember from the pulpit, he said, if you're not in the Christian school, you're out of the will of God. And I remember thinking as a public school kid, like, but my mom, my dad, they can't afford that. But you guys are here and you have this huge blessing and opportunity and don't take it for granted. So with that in mind, that's what I challenge you guys. That's for the whole year. Let's read Romans chapter 2, and we're only going to go through about 5 or 6 verses, okay? So please stay with me. I have a couple fun little props. I think you guys will enjoy it. I think it'll keep your attention and help you apply what the truth of this passage is. Okay, so let's start in verse 11, chapter 2 of Romans. Okay, please follow along. For God shows no partiality. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd be with me. Pray that you'd be with them. Help us to learn and apply the truths that we will see today. Lord, I pray that you would open hearts, open minds, and that your truth would be revealed through the Holy Spirit. Lord, it's not going to be me that's going to convince anyone or change anybody's minds or influence anyone. It's not the examples, the funny little gestures, my presentation, but Lord, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can communicate this truth to them. I pray that they would do their part by making an effort choice to listen and apply. Lord, we love you and thank you for your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So verse 11. Real quick, let's go and review what Pastor Brian went over. 1 through 5 was about what? Okay, they had the law. They were Pharisees in a way. We could say they were Pharisees. And what were they doing? They were what? Judging people, but not judging themselves. So they were holding you to this accountability or by this law or statute or standard, but then they weren't doing it themselves, which makes them what? Yes, okay, hypocrites. Okay, and then verses 6 through 10 was about what? What was the main emphasis? The what? The judgment. Okay, the judgment. And that all will be what? All will be judged. Okay, and that, and then he ended with verse 11, which basically declared that he's not partial to your background, your circumstance, how you look, what family you're from, how rich or how poor. No matter what, you're going to be what? Judged. Okay, so verse 11 is where I'm going to start. Okay, God is impartial. This means this. He treats everyone equally. He is not moved by external appearances. So you can look the part, and some of you soccer guys with the Devo we had just the other week, remember the guys who look the part, but then the home life is completely different? We have these guys who at church play the part, but we know by our own experiences, my own experiences, that these guys were phonies, fakes. And it doesn't matter how you look, you will be judged according to your actions, your own heart. That's the reality of it. And here's the truth of the matter. Some of you already know this. There are students here that are fakes. Yes, you're right. There are students here that are fakes. But that doesn't mean that they will not be judged accordingly. And I told my soccer guys that that doesn't give you an excuse not to take this whole gospel, this Bible, this God thing seriously. Because who's going to be judged for who? Yeah, I'm accountable for myself. I decided as a 19, 20-year-old guy that I can't keep looking at all these phonies, these fakes, these guys that weren't examples for me that I saw were frauds. And I can't just go, well, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to live by that. No, I eventually came to the point, it doesn't make any sense for me not to accept Jesus and not to follow Jesus according to their actions. Because I'm going to be, judged accordingly for my own actions, my own behavior. So all are going to be judged by the same measure. Okay, so that brings me to this example. Soccer guys, stand up. You're on the soccer team. Stand up. I like that. A couple of them were like, all right. They know that according to grades, according to practice, and according to their attitude or behavior on and off the field, it will affect what? Game time. Some of them said how they play, if they play. Okay, it will affect their game time. Grades, whether they come to practice or they come up late. Okay, and they know because I've rotated jerseys, some of the guys who are better are treated just the same. You say, well, oh, aren't you scared you're going to lose? Well, it doesn't really matter. What are we trying to accomplish? Character. Okay, Pastor Sean hit it real hard on Sunday. It is not about the W's. And I agree totally. Okay, and these guys, I want them to see the point that I'm not going to treat Derek any different than Joshua. A freshman and a junior. A captain and a guy who has a small role on the team. Let's just be honest. Okay? And that's okay. I told them my life story as an athlete. I went to college and I was the water boy for almost 2 years. I came from this... Okay, you guys can sit down. Okay, I came from this high school, this small little public school, and I was the man. My head was this big, and I thought I was going to go to college and just, oh yeah. And I went there, and I found out everyone else is just as good as me, if not better. They're taller, they're more athletic, they can shoot just as well, if not better. And I found out I'm really good at passing out water. And that was my role. And guess what, guys? I knew that eventually either my time would come where I would get playing time, or I'm just going to be the best water boy that I can be. Okay, so the soccer guys they knew that I was not going to treat them any different. Okay, that's an example of God, and he is not going to be partial for any of us. Well, I grew up Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. Who cares? You're going to be judged. Well, my mom and dad, they've taught me well. You're going to be judged. Well, what about the people? They don't hear the gospel. They've never heard about they're going to be judged. From this end all the way to this end. Okay, so I need two groups. This is where the props come in. Okay, you guys you're just on the edges of your seats right now. All right, so group A, let's get John and Derek. I already wrote them down, sorry. Okay, John and Derek, you're going to be my Jews, okay? Come on, all right? Nate and Lewis, I picked Lewis. Is Lewis here? Okay, good. I picked Lewis because he's just going to look ridiculous in this thing right here, okay? So I'm hoping it doesn't slide off of him, okay? So Lewis is Nate Peek. Get up here. Come on. All right, so you're going to put this on. Okay, you guys are my Gentiles. So these guys are going to be my Gentiles. These guys are going to be my Jews. Okay, this really wasn't a beard. I was looking for a beard. It's actually like an animal costume thing, but it's going to work as a beard. All right. And I figured it was Jewish to have like a math book, so that's what I got. Okay? You might want to switch that. All right. I figured this, like a Jew would never wear a hat like this, so I thought that was good.
Am I supposed to be Roman?
You're just a Gentile. Lewis, it actually looks pretty good on you. I'm impressed. All right, so I want you to look with me to verse 12, okay? Verse 12. Okay, we read verse 11, and it told us that God is what? Not partial. So verse 12 tells us this. Let's read. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Okay, so here's our two groups. This passage, this verse is split in two categories, two groups. There's a group who... Come on, man. All right, there is a group who knows what? They know the
Bible.
They know the law, so they're going to be judged according to the
law.
Okay? I want them to get a good look at both of you. All right? All right, and then there's the opposite side. The opposite side or group doesn't have the law, so they will not be judged by the
law.
But what is true about both groups still? They will be what?
Judged.
Okay, so this brings a problem. How can you, God, not be partial, but have one group that's been given the law, and then this opposite, don't look at me, all right? And this opposite group who doesn't have the law. Well, he's going to answer that question. So verse 12, we come to this conclusion. And I think that this is very fair. I think this is true. Okay? They've been given greater revelation because they have what?
The law.
So do you think that they will have a greater accountability because they've been given the law?
Yeah.
And revelation means what, 10th grade? Basically, the unknown being made known. Okay? And then you have this group here. They've been given lesser what? Revelation, which means there is a lesser what? Judgment or accountability. But they still will be... Okay. So we got the point. Both will be judged. So this is where the application comes to us. Students, listen, everybody. Do you think you'll be judged more harshly because you've grown up in Berean all your life? Or even some of you, you've only been at Berean for a couple months or a month and a half or 5 weeks or whatever the case may be. What have we emphasized at GAD, here in chapel, in Bible class, what? Every day. You've been given what? You've been given the law. You've been given God's revelation about who He is and what He has for us. So you will be held accountable for having that knowledge. Okay, so let's get this straight. So Jonathan, what I'm implying or what I'm saying is that because you have this Bible right here, you've been given to a greater degree the opportunity to know God and follow Him. And guys, that is an awesome opportunity. But for us, Kayla, for us, if we're to reject that and we're actually to hear the message of the gospel and receive the law of God and reject it, you can expect to a greater degree a more harsh judgment. So now we're starting, hopefully you're connecting the dots with Revelation 3. Okay, that we're extremely rich and we find ourselves without needs. Like whatever we want, we basically get. And yet we have this Bible in front of us 24/7. We have every opportunity to study and read. You have every opportunity, whether it's a podcast or Christian music or a good gospel preaching church, okay, a academy unlike most academies that will give and give and give and give the Word of God to you. It's a huge responsibility. And this is why I tell you guys, man, don't check this box, this chapel or Bible class. Don't just check it off like it's no big deal. Like, I'm in a Christian home. Like, I know what Pastor Nate's going to say. I'd rather take a nap because I stayed up too late. I have a quiz next hour, so I'd rather study my 3x5 card. Okay? Don't, please, don't do that. All right, so let's go to verse 13. There's judgment for all, okay, but more revelation is to this group than this group. And he's going to answer that question about what, it's not fair. It's not fair about this group. Just hold on. Wait just a moment. Verse 13, let's read it together. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. Okay, so we're talking about which group? Jews. Okay, the Jews over here, the ones with the law. Greater revelation. And guys, did you know that this passage basically tells us that it is to no advantage for these guys unless they do what? They become doers of the law and not hearers only. Oh, that reminds me of a passage. James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So these guys, they have the law right here. It's not an advantage unless they do the law. Okay, so that's what that verse is saying. So here's the question that I want to answer, because some of you probably are asking this or have asked this in this last 15 minutes. What about people who don't have the same access to the law that others have? Okay, group B, this group over here. How can anyone do what the law requires if they don't have a copy of the law? They can't read it, they can't study it. Okay, because we know that in the world, what, 6.5 billion people, almost 7 now, getting close to 7. Okay, out of that many people, we know that they're not all having access to the law. So what about this group? Paul answers the question. Look with me, verse 14 and 15. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves. Even though they do not have the law, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them on that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So 14 and 15 are telling us what? They have the law through what? It's written on their hearts, and their what bears witness. So now this is where they get nervous. I don't know if you guys know this, but I have an ink pad, and I have a stamp. Okay, so I'm going to need your hand over your heart so to represent that it's stamped on your heart. It's written on your heart.
I can't reach.
Okay, so the Bible tells me that even without God's word, it is written on their
heart.
Oh, wow. Great. Good job. He's got it. And then also their what bears witness of it? That wasn't good enough. Especially for Lewis. Okay, so let's go over that very fact. What does it mean for the law to be written on their hearts? Okay, so what are some of the laws? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not murder, kill. There shall not. All right. Thou shalt not lie, bear false witness. Okay, so those are three easy ones, right? Stay with me. So those are three easy commandments that we all know. Do you know that basically 100% of the world understands that without even the Word of God? Why do you think that just about every country has a set of standards and rules for their nation? We're not talking about a Christian nation. We're just talking about a nation where it's not okay to go and kill someone. Or it's not okay for you, a child, to lie to mom and dad. Like, I can talk to atheists or people who don't believe in God, and guess what? I can talk to that parent, and they get upset when their child does what? Lie. Because they know that it is wrong. So when the Bible says that it's basically been written on our hearts, he's saying that we have a sense of morality even without the Word of God. Which means there is a what? Higher being that has these set standards and rules that he's created. It also says about the conscience, okay? And this means what? Have you ever done anything wrong?
Yeah.
All right. Everybody's going, duh. Yes, we've all done wrong. Okay. Here's an example. My mom, she cooks awesome, fantastic, great apple pie. That's like my favorite dessert. That with, my wife knows, vanilla ice cream on top. And it's got to be hot, okay? The ice cream's melting on top, right? So my mom, she knew that I love this apple pie, okay? And so she'll cook apple pie every once in a while when I was growing up. And I remember, what would she say to me before dinner? What was that phrase? No what? No dessert before
dinner.
But I remember almost every chance that I had. If she left that kitchen before dinner, me and my sister had this thing where we thought it was hilarious, but we knew it was
wrong.
We would take right from the middle. So we would grab a spoon, and instead of cutting a nice little layer, we would try to basically use a spoon, and we'd take that top layer, and we would just dig in the bottom. And we put the top layer back, okay? But usually she found out once she was cutting the pieces, and like half of the pie in the middle is just, it's just the top. And she's going, and she knew. And I knew it was, I just knew. And for people, honestly, people all across the world, they make decisions, right? We have free will. We're able to make decisions. And if somebody, this old lady was to be at the store and drop a $100 bill from her purse, the person behind them is automatically thinking what? Okay, either I need to get this back to her, which is the
right
thing to do, or man, I could really use $100, but I know it's not right. And they make a decision, right? But their own conscience bears witness. And it says at the end of that verse that it either accuses you or it excuses you. Which means let's rewind. All right, I picked that $100 bill up. I put it in my pocket. What's the rest of my day going to be like? I'm beating myself up thinking I stole $100 from this old lady, and she was buying all this cat food. She could use that money for all her cats. Okay? Okay. Or, rewind. I pick up this $100 bill, and I go, ma'am, you dropped this. What does my conscience bear? I feel good. I'm poor, but I feel good about my decision. So when the Bible tells us that it bears witness, the conscience, and that it is written on our hearts, we are without excuse. So you guys can go now. So put all this stuff down. You guys can go sit down. Thank you so much. Round of applause for them, okay? I get paid for this. So let's review real quick. Okay, so everybody's listening, right? Okay, focus. Verse 11, God is not partial, meaning he will equally judge everyone. Everyone will be judged. Verse 12, God's judgment will fall according to how we respond to the measure of truth or revelation that we have access to. There's a difference between that group and this group, but they're both going to be judged. Verse 13, hearing of the law is no advantage when it comes to the judgment. Only if they become what? Doers of the word. Verse 14 to 15, the law is available to those who have no copy of it because what's written? It's written on their and their bears witness to it. So here's the first truth. Okay, this whole thing was about the truth of God and the truth about us. Here's the first truth. The truth about God is that he is not partial. He judges not on the assumption that we all have access to the same amount of truth, but that we all have the truth we need to be held accountable, and that we will be judged by our response to what we do have, not what we don't have. God is so committed to this dimension of his justice that he secures it by creating every human soul with the imprint of the moral law, with the capacity to know his glory revealed in nature. He is impartial not merely with that he finds in the world, rather he sees to it that what he finds in the world conforms to his impartiality. That's the first truth. You're going to be judged. He is a just God. Okay, and he is not partial. Okay, so that brings me to verse 16. Verse 16 says this: on that day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. So on a certain day, a day in the future, we will all be judged. Okay, June, you'll be judged. I'll be judged. Someone over in a third world country that's never heard of the gospel or may never hear of the gospel will be judged. Okay, and someone like a Francis Chan will be judged accordingly. Okay, a judgment is going to happen. And every deed, verse 11 tells us that even in the secret places, the ones that we don't know about, the ones that Jonathan, no one sees, the ones we think are hidden, Tito, the fact that you and no one sees what you do in private, the fact is that even those secret things will be judged. So here is the second truth, and it's the truth about man. Man is built, the second great truth about man is built on the first one about God. Namely, all human beings have the moral law of God stamped on their heart. Every human soul, as it comes to consciousness, knows that it is created by God and dependent on God and should honor and thank God. Look at chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 with me. It says this: for his invisible attributes, who's he? God, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been what? Clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Okay, and should do the things that are written on the heart, and that failing to do them is worthy of death. That's chapter 1, verse 32. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die. So this is what I'd like to call, this is the application part. So please listen. Here's the application. Okay, Chris, the application is this. There's two groups of people in here. The first group, this is really bad news. What we just went over, the five verses we went over, this is horrible news. Because you can't abide by what? The law. And if you have not placed your faith in Christ, this is horrible news. Because you're not justified. And how can you keep the law? And your own conscience finds you guilty. So how do you think a just God will respond? The God that's perfect. Romans 3, 21 through 26 has this great answer for you. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in who? Christ Jesus. G-O-S-P-E-L. That is the gospel. And it's there for your taking. Believe with faith on the person and work of Christ. That's the first application for the first group that's found without Christ. Here's the second application. Here's the second group. For those who say you already believe, you will still be judged. And James and 1 John, if you read any part of just a little bit of that passage of Scripture, or passages of those chapters or books, it basically sums it up as this. Believers are characterized as followers of the way of Christ. They are image bearers or light bearers for Christ to the world. And they abide by the truth of Scripture. They love God's law. Romans 2, 6 through 7 tells us that our behavior and our actions and our words matter. Chapter 2, verse 6 through 7 says this, He will render to each one according to his works. Those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. So here's the truth. Natalie, believers follow the law. Believers are characterized as loving people, loving God. So our actions, our behavior matters. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that they apply and this truth from your Scripture. I pray that you would be with each and every one of us. And Lord, help us to realize how important our testimony and our actions and our words, our behavior, how important it is to you. Lord, help us to realize how important this spiritual matter is. Lord, that we are going to be judged. Lord, we thank you for the fact that Romans 3 tells us we can be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving your Son for us, knowing that we couldn't follow the law. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.